All right, here we are with episode 112 of the Florida Trail Runners Podcast. And we are just in time for the Long Haul 100 out at Colt Creek State Park. And for this episode, we've got your long haul pre-race chat. You know, we've got some trivia, some tips, some questions, some answers. And of course, we've got your race predictions for the 2024 Long Haul 100. And on the chat, we've got your race director, Andy Crew Matthews, Jeff Iosa, and Andrew Barrett. Now, Jeff has come in third place overall out at the Long Haul. And Barrett's ran out there, and you'll see him out at his aid station, which is always a blast. So hey, we'll keep the intro short, and let's just jump right into this episode for your Long Haul prediction episode.
Joseph.
Andy.
Hey.
Andy.
Yes.
If I would have finished every long haul, I'd be going for my 500-mile belt buckle.
That's right.
I would have gotten it before Jeff.
All in the fullness of time.
Wait, you're what? What, your 5-year?
Yeah, I would. That's what I'd be shooting for if I would have finished every single time.
Oh, Joseph.
All right, let's knock this sucker out in like 20 minutes. Ready, go.
Boom. Oh, well, hey, here we are with the Long Haul 100 prediction episode, that little round robin chat. You know, Jeff, you're running. Barrett, I think you're volunteering. And obviously, Andy, you're race directing.
That's all correct.
You're running it too, aren't you?
I am running this year, yeah. Yep. Hopefully not another DNF.
You got this.
We got you, Joe.
Well, hey, how are y'all doing?
I'm doing great. Everything's all ready to go. We can have a race tomorrow. No problem.
I am sick and I am trying to get better. I'm about 72%.
All right.
You still got 3 days.
Feeling a lot better today, so we'll see how the next couple days go.
Yeah, Jeff, that's how on Sunday I was out of it. I'm still all stuffy right now.
Yeah, so kind of a bummer, but it is what it is, and I'll be ready to go on Saturday morning.
I'm sure having a beer while doing a podcast is perfect for my health, but it's all right.
Is it an NA?
This is a Luna Pistachio Cream Ale.
Ooh.
Oh, that sounds good.
It does sound good. Got a 6 of them? Do you have a 6-pack?
I do.
Well, good. We can do a little swap. That for a buckle. Kidding, guys. Don't think you can just bring beer or whiskey, particularly bourbon, to the race and get a buckle.
You heard it here, folks. Hopefully Western States isn't listening.
Oh yeah, good point, detective.
And yeah, you know, I feel like I know I ask this every single year, but you know, what's it like for you on race week?
Oh, it's been 10-20 minutes a day, maybe, thinking about it, working on it, and that's about it. Eat a lot of ice cream. It's the heavy work really is going to start in the morning. We've been doing stuff like ordering stuff. We've got all our shirts and about half of the food that we're going to need. Well, about half of the food that we're going to pre-purchase. We always have to make several runs to the store during the race. And so tomorrow I'll spend all day out at Colt Creek. We may, you know, just have to see what kind of shape it's in. There's a chance that there'll be like Western States has a snow route. There's a chance we may have to invoke the rain route. But we'll know that by Thursday morning. But anyway, I'm going to do the whole course and maybe do a little marking, but probably not. Because got to make sure that the course is the course. And then I'll run a load of stuff over, like coolers and tables and things like that tomorrow. And then Thursday, we'll move out there permanently and you know, take another couple of loads. This is a really, really long week.
Well, Andy, thankfully there's a Monday night football game this week, so you don't have to rush on Sunday.
You got that right. Yes. We will make it to the stadium. We will sit in the stands, and they better play well, because otherwise we'll definitely be in danger of falling asleep in the stands. Putting it together is a lot of hard work, but then you see everybody running, and it's worth it. And then after the race, you look at everything, cleaning it, you know, packing everything up and cleaning up. Oh, man, that's tough. That's the worst part.
I can imagine.
Sweeping this course is easy. It's just, you know, putting everything back in storage sheds and garages and trailers, trying to make it all fit. You know, it's like shaving cream. It comes out, you know, it comes out real, real easy, but putting it all back, not so easy.
That's like the shed at my house. It's like 3/4 full of RD stuff and all my lawn mowers and all that stuff just kind of just stacked in the corner.
Bags of chicken feed. And
oh, yeah. I know there's some big things for this year. And, you know, you introduced it last year, that 500-mile belt buckle and that 1,000-mile belt buckle. You know, who do we have on slate for this year?
Ooh, all right. Let's see. We have one on the female side, and that is Jody Weiss going for her fifth. You know, she's running in honor of her dad who passed this year. So, you know, we're really going to do everything we can to get her finished and get that 500-mile buckle for her. And then on the men's side, we have four. John Raggarts from Euclid, Ohio, is making his second attempt at getting the 500-mile buckle. And Bruce Werner.
Yeah.
Going for his.
Postman.
The postman. One of my longtime associates, Mark Palomar from Florida, is going for his fifth. And then we have another Ohioan. His name is... Help me out, guys. Who's the guy from Ohio?
Hervey?
Oh, yeah, Harvey Lewis. You mean, are you talking about world record holder, Harvey Lewis? Yes. Yeah, he is going for his fifth.
And, yeah, but I mean, what are the odds of him actually finishing?
Well, depends if he makes his plane.
Well, I'm not even going to make him run 4.167 miles an hour. He can go whatever speed he wants, and I'll still give him a buckle.
What's wild with if you've done this race 10 times, for one, that's like 1/3 of my age.
Oh, yes. Tommy Grinovich is going for his 1,100 miles, the most finishes of all time. And anyway, but we don't have a special buckle. We don't have anybody particularly close to 10 finishes. Bernadette. Yeah, Bernadette is the closest that's running this year, and she has 6 finishes. So I have no doubt that she will get 10, but she's going for number 7 on the 13th, which is Saturday.
Yeah, and speaking of time and years, you know, obviously we'll do some quick introductions here. You know, Andy, how long have you been race directing?
Oh, I've been race directing. When was Abraham Lincoln president? 1861. Oh, about, I don't know, 20. Let's just go with 21 years. And then long haul, this is year 6 for Amy and I.
I guess Jeff and Barrett, you know, you guys are longtime runners. You know, how long have y'all been running?
I've been running 10 years. Ultra is probably about 8 years on that. So this will be my 4th long haul race.
Wow.
On that, so I'm gonna have to go back to back next year just to get to 500.
Nice. I've been running just shy of 20 years, 17 in ultras and long haul. I've run it twice, and I think this is gonna be my 6th year of volunteering.
Yeah, he is the captain of the Boots or Saddles aid station, also known as Aid Station 2. And that's about 2.5 miles from the finish. And they always have great setup out there. But unless you're running the race or pacing the race, you don't get to see him because we're keeping crews and the general public out of there.
Yeah, that's a great location. I think he has a fire ring there and everything.
Oh, yeah.
The lights.
Fire ring and everything.
I bought a couple thousand more lights this year, too.
Hey, that's the best part is when you show up at an aid station, you're like, all right, I'm recharged.
You know it.
And Andy, obviously for this year, you know, it's a new course at Colt Creek. And I guess for those who don't know, you know, that's the change from the Cypress Creek course. You know, how did that change go about?
Well, you know, we Cypress Creek, we really liked it. You know, it had a great energy. There were challenges, but that we had to overcome, like, for instance, importing 500 gallons of water and supplying all of our own power. But we, you know, it was tradition. We liked it. But they, for us to have the race there, we were going to have to reduce the field size to 100 runners. And it's hard to be a Western States qualifier if you're only allowed to have 100 registrants. And we had done the Colt 45 over at Colt Creek State Park and really liked the park. The Rangers there worked so well with us. You know, if we need to get something mowed, they'll mow it. And they're just always asking what they can do to help. So they were inviting, and they're, you know, they let us increase our runner limit from last year at Cypress Creek. We started 150 runners, and we'll start 300 milers at Colt Creek. So, you know, not everybody has to finish for us to maintain our Western States qualifying status. Everybody listening to this that's running, and particularly the two that are on tonight's show that are running, now they have to finish, but we won't, like the first year, we won't just make people finish, you know, stand them up and drag them around the course. We won't be doing that. So that's been the transition. And like I said, they're just really good to work with. They you know, they've opened up, you know, the best thing is we'll have running water and electricity there. So, you know, you could be able to wash your hands.
Yeah, and that was the big thing, you know, with Western States being a Western States qualifier, even though the course has changed, it's still a qualifier.
Absolutely. And before we made our move, you know, we checked with Western States to make sure. And they said, look, as long as it's 100 miles, as long as it's on trail, you're finishers, you have a, you know, good reputation with us. And they said, you know, we've several of your runners have finished our race. So we, you know, they trusted us with that.
And I saw Long Haul had some great stats when it came to Western States, the lottery this year.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some people going, and I'm pretty darn excited about it. And I'll tell you what, we're so well respected. They're even taking our volunteers at Western States, because Andrew Barrett here is running it. And that was his main qualifying thing on his application, was Long Haul volunteer.
Yeah, and Jeff, you know, I know you're on the hunt for Western States. Barrett's in this year. But, you know, last year you volunteered. You've come in third before. This year you're racing again. You know, how's that build up? How's that training been going for you this year?
Actually, this year training came in well. I had a really good build up October, November, because I attempted the Cross Florida 200. So I had some great miles there. And then as soon as I finished or failed at that, I got a little bit of recovery. I had a great December, put up some good training miles. And besides being sick the last week, I feel if I come in 100%, I'm feeling pretty good. On Saturday, I'm not right there, so I'm not going to be going with the leaders, but I'll be in the chase pack on that. So, and it's a great course. I think it's a fast course. I think it's faster than what Cypress Creek was.
Yeah, I agree.
Trails are a lot smoother than what you had out at Cypress Creek. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, how about you, Joseph Fuller? How you feeling about Saturday?
Well, you know, we're going to go for it, and we're just going to see how the cookie crumbles and ride the lightning, baby.
All right.
Well, it's definitely more of a fuck around and find out method.
All right, brother. We'll help on that.
Slow and steady. I think,
you know, one of the big things that's different this year, you know, you've got 6 laps, and I can do math. You know, that's about 16 and a half, 16.6-ish miles-ish miles.
Right.
You know,
yeah. You know, we could have stretched out to 20 miles and done 5 20 mile loops. But we just really like this course that we have designed. And there's, you know, there's a lot of 5 loop races, and there's some 4 loop races, but I didn't know of many 6 loop races. So I thought that was a good number. And we're going to give that a shot, you know. 10's a big number, and it's kind of like, oh my God, another loop. But six, you know, you've done three and you're halfway there. You've done three and you're halfway there. So anyway, we're going to give it a shot. And thing is that I'm really happy with all 16.7 miles of the course. So that's a good thing. If, you know, if it was, and that's why we finally ended up with 10 mile loops at Cypress Creek, is because that was what we felt was there was 10 good miles. And when we tried to extend it to 12 and a half that first year, people were running through a lot of stuff that wasn't great. And, you know, when we was better at 10, and this one we found is better at six. We like six loops.
And Colt Creek offers so many more options than Cypress Creek did. I remember you essentially just as a good running spot when we were looking for non-contact places during COVID.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And just mile after mile of trails out there to play with. It offers a lot of great options and I think better scenery than we had.
I absolutely agree. You know what, Andrew, we when we get there tomorrow to scout out the course, we should really pay them $3 each for running those trails during COVID when we didn't pay to get in.
But we always snuck in the back
gate. And we're not saying that you guys should do that. But if you park just on the other side of the bridge.
And it's cheaper.
There is that Florida Trail entrance over there.
Yes, yep. There is.
There's one gate to jump to make that work. Yeah.
And, of course, after you jump the gate, yes, you should run to the guardhouse and pay them. And I think it's only $2 if you're in there on foot. So really, we only owe them $2 each.
Well, times 10, so probably 20.
Yeah, 20. Okay. We're bringing them some business this weekend. It's a wash.
So let's talk about these loops, right? So, you know, you got the aid stations. You know, where are the aid stations at? You know, how far am I going between these aid stations?
Good question. You'll hit the aid station one at about mile 3.7 in the group camping area. You'll do a 5.4 mile loop, and you'll hit aid station one again in the same place, but you'll come at it from the other direction. So they're at 3.7 and about mile
nine.
Yeah, and then the next thing will be a hydration station, water and Roctane by Goo only at that hydration station, and that'll be about 3 miles after that. So we'll call that mile 12, and then you'll hit the aid station two at Boots or Saddles, where Andrew Barrett will be working with my daughter Allie Matthews, who you guys both had on a great podcast last year about the aid stations at Long Haul. Really enjoyed that. And that will be, let's see, we were at mile 12. And it'll be about mile 14 will be Boots or Saddles, which will be a really nice aid station. You heard Andrew saying he bought about 1,000 lights, and I think he might even be short changing himself there. And there'll be a fire out there, but don't stay. He won't be able to miss you unless you leave. Don't stay too long. There'll be soup and all kinds of great stuff out there at mile 14.
Mashed potato soup.
Yep. And then at that point, 2.7 miles from the start finish, when there'll be an aid station there also. And there'll be a big place to put canopies, 10 by 10 canopies and stuff along the close to the lake over there on either side of the path, start finish. So not only is there an aid station there, but you'll have good crew access there, good crew access at group camping, which they hit twice, and then some more crew access just before you hit the finish on a loop, and then just after you hit the finish on a loop.
So basically, if you run out of water, it's your own fault.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's supposed to be cool this weekend, a high of 62 or so and a low around 42. So, you know, one handheld bottle would probably get you through. Now, I always like to have a choice of water or the electrolyte drink. So I'll carry two, and not have to fill it up as often, but that's personal preference. Some of those cats like Jeff are so fast, they may not even carry any water. I don't know.
Nah, I think my goal is one handheld.
Okay, good goal.
Yeah, and you know, since you mentioned the crew, you know, one of the things that I think people have been wondering with the aid stations is, you know, how do I crew my runner? You know, can you drive to the aid stations? Can you just walk to the aid stations? Kind of ride a bike to the aid station?
Listen, you know, bike is an excellent choice to the group camp aid station and start finish. No crews at Boots or Saddles. We don't want any like bicycles on the course. That's for runners or pacers only. On the course itself, on the trails. But a bicycle would easily get to the group camp. Would be about a 3-mile bike ride. And as far as taking a car, we don't want runners on the course there because there's two-way runner traffic going into group camp. But you can get within a 0.5 mile of that aid station. Now, people that are that crews that are parked in Area B where the group camp is, they'll park along the I guess it would be the east side of the road, the southeast side of the road, parallel park there. And then it's only, it's between a 1/10 of a mile and 3/10 of a mile walk to the aid station where they can set up canopies or just hang out or whatever. We'll have a big aid station there, nice fire. And then as I think we have, about 50 people signed up to have canopies there also. The problem there is that moving cars, since you see a runner twice there, we really don't want any car traffic. Now, to set up, people are expected to drive to group camp, set up their stuff, and then move their car to the southeast side of the road and parallel park there. I will be checking out. They mowed a field for us, and I'm going to check that out tomorrow to see if it's acceptable for parking. If it is, that'll make it even easier because there'll be plenty of room just to park in the field across from the main aid station. But I don't have high hopes for that field, given the rain that we've had and the fact that they just cut it down. But I will let everybody know if that is a possibility. So anyway, we don't want cars just running in and out of there once the race starts, because two-way runner traffic. And remember, we've got 300 runners this year, so it'd be quite a few runners, and we just really want to make sure everybody is safe.
Yeah, because, you know, I guess back with the aid stations, you know, new year, new course, new aid stations, you know, what were we cooking up at the aid stations? We got, you know, hot food, cold food, snacks, the vegan stuff, you know.
Oh,
what's,
yeah.
What's the jam?
It is your basic ultra fare with some serious upgrades. We'll have Allie Matthews on the vegan quesadillas, making Harvey and Mac Jackson very happy. We'll have some homemade soup at the start finish. We'll have burgers and hot dogs at night. We may see if we can luck our way into pizza or two also. And then broth and ramen and peanut butter and jelly, the stuff that most of the high-class 100-mile races have, and coffee and hot chocolate, too. Sodas, you know, lots of stuff. Truffles.
Yeah, and, you know, quick shout-out to Nicole. Thank you for donating more vegan stuff to the race.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously we know a little bit more about the aid stations and all that jam. You know, you've ran out there, Barrett's ran out there, Jeff, you ran out there. I've been out there a couple times. You know,
heck yeah, the Joe Fuller aid station at Colt 45. Woo!
Oh, yeah. You know, what's the course like out there? You know, what's the trail like? You know, is it grassy? Is it
grassy, yeah. Jeff, you've run a lot of miles out there. Tell us what the trails are. I mean, I marked it, but I always just walk.
Like I said, I think they're going to be faster trails than what you had at Cypress Creek. I mean, they're not single track, so they're almost like a service road, but grassy.
But grassy, yeah. And good footing on the grass. You know, it's not like that grass that, you know, running in St. Augustine grass, which is most of your Florida lawns around here.
No, it's smooth. You have some crushed shell down there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a very smooth trail. Easy to, like I said, no single track, so easy to pass on. I think when we ran out there, we were running side by side. I was running side by side with someone the whole time on that. It's a great course on that.
Well, I like it too. Now, you know, it could be a little wet. I'll know a lot more tomorrow when I do my recon. But
yeah, there's definitely one section that we can almost guarantee there's going to be water. On that right there. There's no way it will drain off, especially after today. But I think there's a couple other areas that could get wet, but you could. I remember being out there at Coal Creek 45.
Yeah,
it was raining. You were able to bypass them if you slowed down.
Right
there. But there's one section you're not gonna get. Yeah.
But by and large, it's a good fast course. You know, there may be a little mud. We'll know more tomorrow.
Yep. Lather those feet up with squirrels nut butter.
You know it, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously we know it's been raining today. You know, what's the weather looking like for this weekend?
Should be clear. Double rain on Friday night, but then on Saturday, high of 62-ish, low of 42-ish. Really running weather. Better bring some jackets for the nighttime, but just almost perfect running weather.
Yeah, it's not going to be too bad. I mean, not going to be last year when last year never warmed up once.
No, it didn't. Last year was just cold.
torrential downpours.
That was 2 years ago.
We've had it all out there.
And 4 years ago and 6 years ago, right?
So Andy, if it's going to rain, are you going to cancel or shorten the course at all because of
Look like Mickey Mouse to you? I mean, I'm not a Disney. I mean, I am goofy. I'll give you that. But but I don't have that. I don't have that Disney gene in me. No, we won't shorten the race. We might, if we have to, we'll change the course a little bit. We'll a little tweak if we have to, but no, it's going to be,
it'll
be at least 100 miles because we're really, really want everybody to get their full experience. And we want to keep that Western States qualifying status.
Did you know the percent that you see, like say it's a 60% rain, it's actually based off like that particular area during a, you know, like a period of time, not like what are the odds of rain?
Man, I didn't know that. I am always surprised by rain everywhere I go. I'm like, did anybody know it was going to rain? And everybody look around, everybody else got umbrellas and raincoats and all that. I'm like, oh, so I'm constantly surprised by getting rain. Yeah. So I didn't know that.
Good thing I live 15 minutes away. I can get a rain jacket or a trash bag. I'm all good.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, before we do some trivia like last year, the race predictions. You know, before that, you know, we've got some Q&A, some questions from the runners.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, some are simple, some are admin, you know, some are a little more complex, but we've got like not 9 or 10 questions.
All right.
You know, so
we're ready. Let's do it.
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Please, God, give me the answer.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah.
So question number one, you know, how important is it to stick to your race plan at a distance like this?
Andrew, what do you think? You're a very accomplished runner. How important is it to stick to your race plan?
I think it's critically important that you stick with the plan that matches the training you set up. Having said that, you've got to be willing to adjust on the fly. Race day is race day. Things go wrong. Things don't turn out the way you planned. You might feel better than you thought you would. You might feel worse than you thought you would. Nutrition might be going well. You might feel a little bonky. You adjust as you go, but you stick to the core plan, but you make tweaks to keep you upright and moving forward.
So, and also on this course, it's a flat course. Nothing slows you down.
Yeah. So Jeff, that's a great point. So if your plan, I'll make some quick numbers up here. If your plan was to try and break 24 hours and you know that you need to run about a 14 minute pace along with some breaks to get there, don't go out and run 11 minute miles for the first 30 miles because the course is easy and flat and you feel like you can bank a bunch of time. If because you're going to look up around mile 60 or 70 and realize you have nothing left in your quads. Stick to your plan and do your 13, 14 minute miles, maybe bank a little time, but don't deviate too far just because the course feels great early. That will change.
Yeah. Especially that. I mean, we watched so many people blow up over the years on this course just because it's so easy to run. You just go.
It's a great point, Jeff. I've really done a lot more mountain racing the last few years, which I've come to really enjoy. And the interesting thing about a mountain race is the mountain generally dictates when you run and when you walk.
Yep.
If it's uphill, most of the time you're walking. And if it's downhill, you've got to run to make that time back up. But when you're in a flat race, it's easy just to go and let the clutch out and suddenly look up and realize that you ran a 50-mile PR and you still got 50 miles left with no leg.
And Luis Gomez is right on your tail, is ready to pass you.
Yeah, and you know, one of the other questions was trail shoes or road shoes.
I'm going all road shoes. I don't think there's anything in Florida that requires a trail shoe unless you really like your trail shoes. I think I'll have three pairs of road shoes, and if I can keep in one pair the whole time, I'll be in the Cliftons the whole time. That's all I have is the Cliftons, so I'll have three sets of them. But I don't think there's anything that warrants a trail shoe out there unless you really like your trail shoe.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I concur. You can run it in road shoes, but I have some trail shoes, and the course is soft enough where I could run it in trail shoes and be very comfortable. It's runner choice on this one.
Yeah. So one of the other questions was, how many bathrooms are out there?
Good question. All right. Wow. There are two bathrooms on the course, well, male and female. So two of each on the course that have fresh water, running water, and power. And that's at the state start finish and at area A, crew area A. In addition to that, there are chemical toilets in the group camp area and also by the equestrian area if you have an emergency. In addition to that, we're going to have 20 portalettes on the course and a couple of hand wash stations also. So, you know, there'll be opportunities for that kind of thing.
20 porta-potties.
Yes, 20 porta-potties. And
try out everyone.
The serious upgrade this year is the hand washing stations. You know, I mean, I don't know why we haven't always had them, but we haven't always had them. But anyway, now we do.
So what about the dog? You know, the question was, can my crew bring our dog?
Well-behaved dogs are welcome. But, you know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, dog's well-behaved, but they aren't so much. Tanya Olson will be out there fixing feet. I'm sure she'll bring her German Shepherd. That dog is an absolute sweetheart.
That dog ate five hamburgers at my aid station.
I didn't say he wasn't an eater.
No, he was a great dog. Yeah. If someone left their burger down, the burger was gone.
Right. But you know, if the dog gets along with other dogs, gets along with people, absolutely bring the dog. People love to see dogs.
I was going to say, while Tanya was fixing feet, you know, Albie, the dog, was fixing hearts.
All right, yes.
That should be a shirt.
I agree.
So what about the cell phone service? You know, what's cell phone service like out there?
Oh, my gosh, you're in a trail race.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, like, I have the carrier that I have, it works everywhere in the park. I can even stream videos and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's good in Cold Creek. Once you go a little bit north, if you're on that main road, you'll lose it. You'll lose it once you go north. But as long as you're in Cold Creek, it's kind of here and there. Sometimes it's like a slow loader, but you've got service.
So perfect for a live feed next year, right, Andy?
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Yeah, and kind of speaking with the live feed thing, will there be a tracker? Any live updates?
Yeah, we've hired a timer from the Fort Myers area. His company is Trailhead Ultras, and he will be doing live updates.
The dude with the beard probably shouldn't
Yeah,
that's right. I probably shouldn't know that. Just
Bradley. Yeah, he's worked a lot of our races. I think he worked last year for us at Long Haul. Really.
How many, Andy, how many timing mats will you guys have out there?
We will have three. Start, finish at the group camping, and then out near the Joe Fuller Memorial aid station. Won't be an aid station there, but there'll be mats there.
Is that the hydration? Will that be the hydration spot too?
Yeah, the hydration spot a little before you get to that spot from group camping.
So actually, you're going to go over them a couple times because you go over that. You go over that spot twice,
right? And
you
go and over group camping, go over twice. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Good deal.
And start finish better go over that sucker six times, but not six times every loop.
Yeah.
So one of the questions I got from a fella was, I'm going crewless, no pacer. How do drop bags work, and what's a good drop bag?
Well, let me just say this. First of all, thank you for running crewless and no pacer. That frees up some parking. And as far as drop bags work, we will have drop bags. An available spot to put a drop bag is at start finish, which you'd see once a loop. And then we'll also have an area in group camping, which you'll see that one twice per loop. So it's like, you'll have three visits per loop to your drop bag.
Yeah.
And please, no
coolers.
No coolers, no huge duffel bags. You know, something the size of a backpack would be better. Now, I know you're going to see it a lot of times. If you have a small duffel, yes, but not one of those big old army duffels or a trunk or a huge cooler. So much stuff at the aid stations I would think I might just put clothes or any special dietary things in a drop bag.
You can even go with the trash bag. Waterproof, baby.
And just think, I mean, even if you're just at the start finish area, you'll be back there in 16 miles.
That's right. That's right. And that's not, I mean, and these aren't 16 mountain miles. You know, these are 16 flat, fast, double track Florida miles. So,
yep.
So the other question was gels or nah? That was literally the entire question, gels or nah.
But we'll have some. I would say if you have a favorite gel, bring your gel. We'll have some Honey Stinger out there.
But I'll give a slightly different answer to that, assuming a slightly different question is whether I should use gels or not. I would just warn you that I try and use gels as a go-to when I'm having trouble processing real food and other things aren't going down. But if you start gels at mile two, I'm sure it's not true of everybody, but I've heard a lot of people say that gels eventually wear on the GI system, and those 20 porta potties are going to get a visit. They're going to get one visit each from you before the race starts if you have too many gels.
Yeah, I can think of that question more as, you know, how should you eat, or how should you get those calories in?
I favor liquid calories. So, you know, what are you using for electrolyte drink?
Roctane from
the Roctane, if Gatorade, soda, anything that has calories in it, liquid calories are the easiest to get in. And then I try and supplement that with real food, peanut butter and jelly, bacon, sandwich, pancake, eggs, whatever your stomach can take at that point. Those are good, slow release calories. And it's food that your stomach's used to processing. Now, too much of it, it may not like to process if it gets warm. But when you go to these corn syrup and other sugary mixes like Goo's, I think that messes up your stomach far more than real food will.
Can confirm.
I'm not going to tell you what what's going to be in my cooler. I'm going to have a Cuban sandwich. That's usually my go-to.
That's a great one.
I like it.
I love
like Cuban sandwich.
I might have some chicken nuggets.
Maybe a hot dog
or hot dogs.
Yeah, maple syrup. We will have hot dogs available.
So the last question, you know, what do you think will be the biggest hurdle to overcome, and what do you do to overcome when things go wrong?
Slow down, and I don't.
We all face different challenges, but I think the biggest hurdle is to run slow enough early. If you can do that and you've trained, then you'll have no problem finishing the long haul 100 and taking home a belt buckle and probably being on your way to Western States if you want to go.
And I think if you're going through a low spot or something and you come into the aid station, ask the aid station workers. You got a lot of workers there that have run a lot of races, and someone can usually kind of troubleshoot you and give you, say, this is what you should try eating this or that, and get you to the next aid station and then the next aid station.
And to build on that, Jeff, I think you have to recognize, no matter who you are, you're going to have at least one low point in the race. I don't care if you're Jim Walmsley or Courtney DeWalter. They have low spots in every race they run too. You just got to learn to push past them and make it back to that upswing when you're feeling good again. The lows will go away if you just keep moving forward.
Yeah, even too, if you just tell the aid station person, like, hey, man, I'm in a low. I need some help.
Yeah, come into the aid station and say that. We'll sit you down. We'll assess what's going on. We'll get some food or fluids or something into you, whatever needs to be done, and then we'll get you up and moving again. But yeah, absolutely share with whoever's around you that you're struggling and what you're struggling with, and that there's whether it's a runner who's running at your pace along with you, or it's an aid station or your crew, somebody can help you get back on your feet and moving again.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the fun things with trail. You know, I guess unlike other sports, I feel like we're all a team.
Heck yeah.
Yep.
I'm glad you're looking at it that way.
Yep.
All right. So now with the Q&A done, you know, it's time for some trivia, boys.
Oh, my MG.
I'm scared the one me and Andy have in common question.
Yeah.
I don't have that this year. However, you know, last year we did establish that both Jeff and Andy have both placed third place overall at long haul.
And in the same year.
We were holding hands.
Well, not the same year part, but we have both come in third. Yeah. And Andrew Barrett was at both those races.
Yeah. I was only drunk for one of them.
So question number 1 of 5. What is Jeff Iosa's average finish time for the long haul 100?
Are you taking all three of my times and averaging it out?
Oh, yeah. It's an average.
Oh, it has to be like 20, 21 hours.
Really? That high, Jeff? I would have gone under 20.
No, I got two 23 30s and a 17:30.
Okay. And all that. Right.
That works out to just about 21 hours. You're spot on.
Yeah.
I would have gone 18, but I would have been wrong. So.
Yeah, it brings it up to 21:31:45.
All right, so Jeff wins that one. Imagine that. Imagine that.
You guys gave me more credit than I had.
Well, I'm recency. That's the last one. You ran 17 and a half hours. I remember that.
Even with
just the wash and the average.
Jeff, even with your current illness, I give you about 80-20 odds of beating that by a couple hours this Saturday.
What, the 17:30? Oh, the 20, the average?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Which, actually, you know what? By the way, bonus question. Tommy Grinovich, Mr. 1000, 10-time finisher. Nice. Do you know what his average time is?
I would guess 26.
I was going to say 28.
I'll split the difference, 27.
He's got an average of 25:58:48.
Thank you. All right, what do I win?
Sorry, Tommy.
That's 230-plus hours of long-haul running.
Holy Schmitz.
He's hooked in now. Like, even, I don't think he ran that much this year, but he's like, I still got to run it. I think he logged something like 1,100 miles this year. He's like, I'm still in. I'm in.
So he's going in fresh. Very smart.
So question number 2. All the way back in 2011, there was a 50-miler. Who were the only two female finishers?
Oh,
oh my gosh, in 2011?
2011.
Well, let's and just what, cheat here.
In the 50-miler?
In the 50-mile.
All right. Let's see.
Oh, my goodness.
We know one of them. I know one of them. I don't know the other one.
Susan Anger.
Eve Lang.
Susan Anger.
By the way, everyone, we're cheating. We're on our computers.
Oh yeah, yeah. Otherwise, we'd had no chance.
Well, Susan is an OG.
Oh yeah, yeah. She is.
She was 49.
Oh my gosh, you didn't have to say that.
Yeah, you didn't have to go there.
Oh my gosh, look at the names on here.
Susan was captain of the unmandate station for a couple of years.
Yes, she was.
Those are two fun years years ago. They had an aid station that was intentionally unmanned, you know, like a water-only station. And one year, Susan was like, well, we could put a couple of runners out there, and we could beef it up a little bit. And the unmanned aid station, we had Christian was there that year.
Right.
Mr. Connolly, Sean Connolly was there that year. And we looked around at one point and realized we had roughly 110 years of ultra running experience working the unmanned aid station.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't even recognize any of the 100-mile finishers. There's some good
Brian, Ryan Bercanti was big in the group back then.
Oh, is he the 50?
Yeah, he's on the 50.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Joe Nicky was.
Yeah, he was the Florida Ultra Runner of the Year, I'm pretty sure, at one point.
Yep.
Won in Smokes a couple of times.
That was a thing?
Yeah, yeah. That was a thing.
Joe, why don't we have the Florida Ultra Runner of the Year?
You know what? We need that.
We also need that the Hall of Fame.
We do. So question number three. So out of all the out-of-staters who have won the Long Haul 100, there's only been one overall champion from Colorado. Who was it?
Oh, man, I remember that guy. I can't remember his name, though, but I remember him.
I remember the guy gave from us his New chairs. Hampshire. He
was, what a good guy. It was Dan something.
Dan Lundquist?
It seems like he was, yeah. Who?
Dan McHugh.
Dan McHugh.
McHugh,
okay.
McHugh, yeah, 2019.
That's it.
Good Dan dude, McHugh. Yeah, he gave us his chairs. He seems like he ran about
16, 27, 13.
Yeah, I don't think that was it, but.
Yeah, no, that's what it is. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
He ran 16, 27.
All right.
Was that the first year you get? When did you guys take it over? 18 or 19?
This is our sixth year. So,
19.
Yeah.
19, yeah. Because 2018, they had four distances.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely 2019 was our first one. Yeah.
Look, you actually got two of that year, two of the top three are running again.
From 19?
Yeah, from 19. You awesome. Got your number two. Two is Eddie Souza, right. And three is Harvey Lewis.
Yeah, that's just, I think that's just so cool.
Can you name all the states and provinces that have won, you know, an overall championship finish?
That's the easiest question I've ever heard. No, Florida, I can't.
Florida, Ohio, Colorado, New Hampshire. That's all I got.
I know that Ontario, I believe that's where Carver hailed from.
The legend Carver, rest in peace. And so Indiana.
Okay. I believe you. Florida, I know, is in there. Right?
Yep. Yeah, it was Florida, Ohio, New Hampshire, Colorado, Ontario, and Indiana.
Nice. What do you know? Very nice. So the challenge is out to the other 45 states and all of the other 12 provinces in Canada.
So question number four. It was mentioned last time on the previous prediction episode. Who is the only female to ever win overall at the Long Haul 100?
I know it, so I'll let you guys go.
Oh, is it Allison?
Yeah, Allison. Was Allison Venti, now Allison Allen is her married name, and she is back dominating again, dominating. She was going to run long haul this year. We invited her. We wanted to see if she could break her own course record. But she, it was too close to the World 24 Championship, so she didn't. She's not going to be able to run it this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah, that was in 2014 with a time of 17:14:36.
Yeah.
So final question, question number five. With the race now being at Colt Creek, over the years, how many major changes to the course has occurred?
How many years has there been a race?
Oh, my goodness. I can tell you the ones I know of. 5 20-mile loops, 8 12.5-mile loops, 10 10-mile loops, and now 16.7-mile loops. Those are all the ones I know of. I don't remember what the first year was. It was on the road, yeah. But I don't remember what the deal was.
Oh, yeah, I actually don't have a clue.
All right.
I know in 2012 there's like that kind of out and back type thing. And then, you know, you had that wet bridge.
Didn't they build that every year?
They did.
And then that one year, Andy, you had us do that like satanic shaped loop thing in that field.
That was with the 8 12.5-mile loops. Yeah, the crop circle. We called it.
And then, of course, the Spurs and now Colt Creek. I mean, hey, the race has grown and developed.
It certainly has.
Evolved,
yes.
And think of it, though. You know, with 300 runners signed up now, 110 runners finished last year. If you go all the way back to 2011, it was 7 finishers.
Yeah,
look, not to get maudlin on this, but I don't think everyone understands how much time and energy Andy and Amy put into making this race legit. It was always a good race. It was always a good vibe. There was a halfway decent, tiny crowd every year, but a lot of fun.
Definitely.
But they saw the opportunity for this to be a Florida's Western States qualifier. And it has exploded into a big race. And so I won't say we struggled, but we worked like hell to make sure we had 100 finishers.
Oh, yeah, we did. That first year. We were, and I'm not kidding when I say this, I'm not exaggerating. We were literally pushing people across the finish line. You will finish. You will.
And then, as you said, 110 last year. I firmly believe you'll be over 200 this year, unless
easily.
Really ugly.
So more people.
Yeah, definitely. It's part of our Florida ultra history.
And you know, we talk so much, and I talk so much because it's important to me because I like the race and been out there several times. We talk so much about the importance of being a Western States qualifier, but I'll tell you what, there are some great, great stories between hours 30 and 32. You know, people running the race for in honor of somebody that they've lost, or, you know, people that have come out there, they've lost over 100 pounds and gotten in shape. And, those are honestly, those are my people, man. I love those stories.
Who was the guy that came DFL last year?
Oh, gosh. Justin that didn't actually finish, that ran.
No, he didn't. Yeah, but
that ran,
me and Andy were me and Barrett were walking him in at the end of the race.
Yeah, really, really tried so hard.
I'd have piggybacked him.
And then obviously our good friend Rusty Smith and his story, and
let's go back to
William Sprouse overcoming a stroke, and he's run several. That was his first race back, and now he's finished like 6 more hundred since then. And this is just last year at long haul. He hadn't run in a couple of years because he'd had a stroke, and now he's finished 7 100 since then.
Let's not forget Mike Morton held the world record on this course for a couple of years.
Yeah,
and think of the demons he fought to be a runner.
No, seriously. I mean, he struggled with all kinds of issues, and I don't know if he's still in the area, but anyway, that was pretty. There are some just amazing stories. So it's not all about Western States. Even if you never want to apply for there, you're amazing for accomplishing this feat, in my opinion.
Yeah, Yeah, even if you're not going to run it and you want to volunteer, I mean, there's so many great stories of volunteering out there, working aid stations. And if I'm not running, I'm running an aid station because I love the race.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's Florida's little grand gathering.
It's a fun one.
Okay, it's time for some race predictions.
All right. Prediction pain.
I have to tell you about the future. What? I have to tell you about the future.
So we got the top five men and women. Where are we going first?
Let's go women first.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it. Because I'm really excited about several people in the field.
All right, you want to start, Andy?
Sure. And did you want a top five? Is that
We'll go with the top five.
Okay, I'll go from five to one. I believe that Laura Walker's going to crack the top five, coming in probably at number five. She won Ancient Oaks this year outright. And she's just she has such a good attitude. She smiles, and she just she keeps on going. And you wouldn't think she's in any pain at all, but I'm sure she is. So she's number five. Number four, Carrie Ming. I don't really. She's been asking really good questions as far as about the course and about strategy and all that. She's been very active. It's as far as I know her first 100 miler. But she's got some good results, including a sub 12 hour 50 miler in Leadville, and to me that's really impressive because Leadville was my first DNF. I just could not handle that altitude. So anyway, so Carrie is coming in at number four, number three, I like Jamie Saunders. There, she's just great attitude and just talented. I'm really cheering for her. She's just such a positive influence. And then I think second place is Loanne, a friend of the Skunk Ape and a fantastic runner. And then I believe that coming close to the course record, but falling just a little short, is going to be Karen Lebetsky. She had a PR at Daytona in December, and when she's healthy, she is just fantastic. She was first overall at peer-to-peer race last February. I was second overall, and she just nipped me. Just barely beat me in that race by a mere 12 hours. So I have seen her firsthand at the start line and do believe that this time I get to see her at the start and finish. And I think that'll be a first place finish for Karen. That's my top five.
Yeah, Jeff.
Oh, man. Some of those names I didn't even have on there.
That's good.
I think our top two were similar. Karen Lebesky and then Lo. I've been chased by her many times. And
yeah.
I'm excited to see what she's gonna do. I had Jennifer Russo.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that Capital Backyard, she put up 308 miles, if I have that right. And then in 2022 at Rimna River, she did 23:30. And I know that's a good time because I ran a 24:30.
There. All right. Yeah. That is a good time.
And then I had Ann Carroll.
Ann has run the race. I think she's from Pensacola area.
She had a 23:36 at Tunnel Hill, which I think would be similar to what this course would be.
Right.
Just a little bit more turns. And I had someone else in there, but I'm gonna save that for my rookie.
Okay.
Yeah, and kind of close to you guys. You know, I was going with Karen Lebetsky, Loanne Vo, and I'm going to throw Evie Stengel up in the mix.
Oh, yeah. Good choice.
And then I also had Jamie Saunders and Laura Walker.
Yeah. All right. Very similar.
See, I had Evie as my rookie.
Yeah, she's my rookie too. She's my rookie too, because she's anything but a rookie. And you know, in race IQ, she knows what the heck she's doing. That's for sure.
I've been out of the Florida running scene a couple of years now. Don't know a lot of these names, but I'm gonna second a couple of other people, and I would put Karen at the top of that list. I've seen Karen run in person a few times, and when she's on, she's stout.
I'd lean
hard on her finishing first.
So top men, where are we looking?
All right, should we make Jeff go first? Let's make Jeff go first, see if he names himself.
See, I have seven, well, I guess I have six names down there. And one, I'm excited to watch, see what he can do out there on that. I really don't have them in order because it's kind of – I know several people's race plans for this weekend, and so it could be hit or miss on that. Of course, Harvey's up there with everything he's done, three finishes. I think his fastest is 14:49 on that. Then you got Kalo, which will be
– Last year's champion,
ran a 15:18, so – I think those two are going to go off the front battling. It will be fun to watch what they do. Unfortunately, I'll be too far back to watch that on that. Adam Koleski?
Yeah, he was my rookie.
Is he a rookie?
Well, he's a long haul rookie.
He's a long haul rookie.
Okay, yeah, but he has run.
I thought it was a 100-mile rookie.
Yeah, he's
gone 15 hours at Indiana Trail.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. Yeah, he had a 15:52. So,
all right, I guess that's not fair.
Yeah,
I'm a rookie. And then
you always have Eddie in there. Eddie's in there.
Yeah.
If Eddie is on, Eddie is.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
He's beautiful to watch run. I really like watching Eddie run.
He doesn't look like looking very.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
especially if he pulls out the foam hat.
And then, of course, I got to throw my name in the hat there.
I'll be
in the chase pack. And I'm trying one other person I have under, Richard Garcia.
What a nice man he is. He's run a couple of races. I really like him. He's a nice man.
And he kicked my ass at PTC, so that's why he's in there.
Well.
So, Richard, if you're listening and you want to run 50 miles in a chase pack on Saturday, let me know. Find me at the start on that. Now, you know who I'm excited about watching on there? I see him finishing top 10, but Yanni.
Yanni, baby.
Yanni is good for 3 miles per mile. He is the happiest runner I've ever met.
I just seen what he's done lately. I'm like, where did this speed come from? So he will be. I think he could be fifth, sixth.
Yeah,
on that right there. So he'll be fun to watch.
Yes, he will.
So. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think it's going to be a Kalo and Harvey, you know, showdown for the 1-2. And then Jeff, man, I had you and Mac Jackson with that Adam guy from Ohio, you know, kind of duking it out for those follow-on spots. And then of course, you know, Eddie Souza in the mix.
Yeah. So, I think the way Eddie races, he'll be in the mix with Harvey and Kalo.
Yeah,
up there, right there. So he'll be up there. I hope he's coming in healthy on that. I haven't heard anything on him. So, and I think,
I think this is the year of the Krupski. I don't think he's going to win, but I think he's going to really tough it out to be in the mix for fifth or sixth. But I see an 18 hour, maybe just under 18 hours for him for his first finish at long haul. So I guess really he could be my rookie if it's a rookie for long haul. I really think he'll do well. He's in good shape, and I think his attitude's good. I think he and Jeff will be in there Well, I think Jeff will probably be. Let's say he and Yanni will be battling for fifth with Jeff in fourth. But you're welcome to do better.
Thank you.
Yeah, then Kalo, Harvey, and Eddie. I really want to see an Eddie Sousa victory. You know, he's coming second. He, you know, if it's his day and the weather is a little conducive, he can really be in there. You know, I know what good shape Kalo's in right now. And, of course, Harvey Lewis with the world record. I actually see a three-person race there. So I'm excited about it, too.
Yeah, and I think mentioning with the rookies, so these are people who chose – the long haul 100 as their first 100 milers.
Okay.
That, you know, they're going to come out and kind of surprise us with their debut to the 100 mile distance. You know, who'd you guys have for those rookies?
I have Jason Dominger out of Winter Gardens, Florida. So, sounds like this will be his first 100. He's done, from what I heard from his coach, he's been running well. Colt 45, he knows the course. He ran a pretty good time at Colt 45 this year. He's done a little bit of mountains. He's done your race, right, Joseph, on that. So he'll be he's got some distance on there. So it'll be fun to watch what he does out there.
My rookie's Ryan Goodson. I think it was his longest race that he'd ever run, and he won Colt 45. Had a pretty nice time there, just under seven hours. So I'd like to see what he does as a rookie. Sign-up results, the only one he's got is Colt 45, but that doesn't mean that's the only one he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was looking at this Garrison Rosie guy from – I forget where he's from, somewhere in Florida. City. Yeah. You know, he's got a second-place and fifth-place finish at the Cruel Jewel 50-miler.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and that 8 hours, 8:01 at Georgia Jewel, that's a pretty impressive time on that course. And I think in a race, a flat, fast race like this, I think age is a big deal. So not to take anything away from Harvey, he never fails to impress on what he can do. And Eddie as well, I think it'd be great to see just a shootout from a bunch of people. But a young guy from like Garrison, who we don't know much about, but he's only 31 and he's got proven speed. If he can make that work in his first 100, he could post a pretty solid time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could. Good choice.
He's got a 4:12:50 sitting there too.
Yeah, that's that's a speed.
Georgia Jewel, Cruel Jewel, one of those. Yeah.
No, yeah, he does. He does have Georgia Jewel twice. He has 50 miles.
That's it.
Twice.
Yep.
So
yeah, there's also a Brian Gall from Colorado. He's a 130 guy in the trail half. He's a 430s guy for the 50K and a furlong champ.
Furlong champ, you know it.
I didn't even see he was running the furlongs. I didn't even look at that.
Katrina is running the furlongs. Katrina Pelican.
Yeah.
Bobby Joe's running the furlongs.
Bobby Joe's running. And then she's hanging it. Well, usually they run it and then crew.
Yes, I think that's in their game plan.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we mentioned last year were some dark horses. You know, that's kind of that 6th to 10th, maybe 12th place guys. Do you guys have any idea for, you know, those chasing guys?
Well.
And ladies.
I'm going to give you a name here, and it's a cheat, but I'm giving it to you anyway, and that's Mack Jackson. I know he came in like 6th last year, I don't know that he's run another 100 since then, but he
– he was 4th last year.
Oh, is he 4th? He was 4th last year. So, I mean, I think that he – I know he broke 20 last year.
Yeah.
Because I remember thinking, man, a guy running his first 100 breaking 20, pretty impressive. But, you know, I don't think he'll come in top 5, but I think he'll be about 18 hours, and that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, yeah. I was just worried I hadn't seen him run anything. I know he's active in the community, but I haven't seen him run anything in the last year.
Race director life, baby.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
My dark horse is Yanni.
That's a good dark horse.
See, I mean, I wouldn't count him because I think he's going to be a lot higher up than 10th or 12th. I think he's going to – that's why I have him up a lot higher than that. But, yeah, I agree. He's going to be fun to watch.
I mean, there's also Mark Pug and Trevor Wilson from Illinois. Mark's been a pretty consistent guy out at long haul.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And on the men's field, did you see this this guy run for Sanity Elkins?
No, I did not.
He's got to be a dark horse, dude. He's got an alias.
That's his name on there?
Run for Sanity Elkins.
All right.
I did not see that. I've scrolled this thing list several times.
All right, that's cool. I'm rooting for Run for Sanity.
It's always good when Run for Sanity wins. Female dark horse. I'm with Jeff on this one. Evie is my choice there. I think she can certainly threaten the top five. Top 10, but the top five.
Yep. Yeah, this list is so long, and it was so much easier scrolling through. And
I know, right? Back in 2011, I could pretty much tell you who the top five were going to be.
Yeah. That'll be fun. It'll be like a big reunion out there this weekend.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, obviously.
I mean, Whitney Dancaster, she's coming out.
Yeah, she's friend of Mr. Harvey Lewis. So I'm excited to see what she does.
Oh, did the Yonkers finally decide who's going to run out Molly's of the family
running.
This year?
Molly's running this year.
I was talking to them all last week. They're like, well, we don't know. Maybe it would be Molly. Maybe it would be me. Justin was talking. I just saw her name on there.
I really think we should make them both run, but not only run, we should make them race each other. That's what I want to see.
That would be, I mean, who... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who would win that.
I don't either. I think it goes back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, you put them on different courses. Mm-hmm. You know, Badwater course. I think Molly has it.
Yeah. But
then you put them on a mountain course like the Tahoe 200. I think it's Justin.
I think it's Justin there. Yeah.
How come Dan Miller has no results?
Is that a fact? Does he have no? Oh, I couldn't tell you because
that's an admin error.
Yeah, you know, because he registered under Dan and his results are probably under Daniel.
Daniel. I'm still fighting with Ultra Sign Up. Could you guys put me down as Jeffrey on one of them and they
want to
switch it over to Jeff for Croom Zoom?
I would say it's probably one of those comp races, but you've never been comp. You've worked so much. If we paid you for what you've done for us, you can buy the race.
Well, this is weird. There's Dan. 41 races.
Okay. Yeah, there he is.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. There's a legend right there, too.
Yeah, oh, my God. This has him listed as 78 this year. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I said that out loud, didn't I? Oh, my God. Yeah. Tell you what, though. I don't know if you guys have ever owned old boots, but he's tough as an old boot, that one.
If he ever Steady stood Dan. Up straight, he'd be 7 foot.
Two. Yeah, he says he's 5'11", but if he ever stood up straight, he'd be 7'1". We didn't say that out loud. No, we didn't.
You got seven people over 70 years old.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And here's the thing. They're all quality runners. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, I raced John Izzo tooth and nail at flipping, flopping, Save the Daylight before, in its first – first incarnation, and then of course the legendary Bob Becker.
I didn't realize that was Bob Becker.
Oh yeah, that's Bob Becker. He's world record holder, for goodness sake. 6 days in the dome, he set a world record. 78 years old, and a wonderful, wonderful guy. We're gonna at 5 p.m. we're gonna be doing a little question and answer. And a little storytelling with Bob Becker, myself, Richard Gallegos, and some members of the park staff at the Mack Lake Pavilion, followed by the pasta dinner, if you signed up for the pasta dinner.
You had to sign up for the pasta dinner?
You did, yes.
Shit.
What was that? Whoa, easy. You can sign up right now, Jeff.
Amy, sign me up.
she heard you.
Yeah, we got you. Yes. She's heard everything. She not only has mom ears, she's got teacher ears. Oh my God.
You know, it kind of circling back to Dan Miller and Justin Yonkers. On the last episode of the predictions, you know, we were talking about who's going to be the most consistent runner. You know, who are you guys looking at for this year? You know, male and female, who's going to be those consistent runners out there knocking those splits out?
I go on the men's side with Bob Becker. I think he'll be the most consistent. I think the man is a genius.
I'll go with Tommy Grenovich. He always runs. Whatever his speed is, he's running pretty consistently.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah, I like that choice.
And I think it's almost right. All right, female. How about you, Joe? Who do you like for your consistent male?
Oh, I've got Bill. Bill Zulis.
Oh, yeah. All right. I like that choice.
And Ty Arison, too.
Yeah, Ty's really running well. He's I'm hoping he'll be nipping at 24. I know how badly he wants it, and you know, he'll be I'm sticking with Bob Becker though as my consistency, because he's just got such a body of work. But I think that Ty's a great choice.
You know who we're not at the females yet, but I'm like, you know who else we forgot as a rookie this year for long haul? Nope. Or 100 mile? Michelle Sweezy.
Oh, yeah, Michelle Lee. Yeah. Her training's gone really well.
I only remember because I got to re-inspect her house tomorrow.
All right.
I'm looking through for
consistency. Females, yeah. I've got Bailey Freer from Winter Garden, Disney's finest. She seems like every race, that last, whether it's the Kroom Zoom, the 100K last year, she'll hit that last loop and she'll, I don't think I can do it, but she's consistent and keeps that going. She's very good at, you know, getting in the pain cave and putting it out of her mind and able to keep going. So I really think she's my vote for Miss Consistency USA Long Haul 2024.
I've got two that I was looking at. I think Loanne Vo. I think she's the most consistent and steady runner I've ever seen in my life.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Well, cool.
Well, because I've been chased by her, and she is so consistent.
The other name I was looking at, when I was looking at the roster, and I was super excited to see it, Jamila.
Yeah, I'm happy she's she signed up this year. She rolled over from last year. She's you know, she's just one of those people that makes you realize what a great sport we're in. You know?
She runs everything too. I don't care if I'm on the East Coast, the West Coast, in the mountains, in the flatlands. I've probably seen her in races in 20 different states. She goes everywhere.
She's been everywhere, man.
I've seen her out in Alabama, Georgia, and obviously now down here in Florida. Everywhere.
How about yourself there? Okay, we got Loanne. Is that both of you guys? Okay, well, that's a good choice.
Yeah, I was going to say Loanne.
That's a good choice. And that,
very consistent.
Yeah, I know. When I look through this list, the females, I see a lot of people that are going to do really well. So excited to see what Jessica Sheffield does. She's run the race several times, and she's always tough. She always does a good job.
I had her on my list as one of the top ones. On that, I forget why. I think because she had a couple finishes and they're decent. Mm-hmm. On that.
All right.
Just has to sit here and scroll and look at the roster up and down.
Where's the farthest runner coming from?
Oh, man.
Is it British Columbia?
Do we have a BC runner?
I thought we did.
I know we got Michigan. We got California.
California.
Yeah, Reed. Yeah, Reed Christensen.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Because he was he ran it last year. Got somebody from Washington also.
Got a dude from Lone Pine.
Sheboygan.
With really big calves.
All right. Yeah. Brad.
I don't know. Who's the closest runner?
You.
You.
What's his name's close to Craig Betts is pretty close.
I've got 15 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, you got someone from Mexico.
The country?
Yeah.
Whoa.
International race, baby.
Oh, man, we've had Austria. We had Australia in the past. But Mexico, that's awesome.
You got a lot of people from Ohio. It's like a...
Yes, thank you, Harvey.
I think Harvey and Chris Stengel bring them all down from Ohio.
Well, we appreciate it.
Stengel's brother's running.
Yes, yeah. He is. That's right.
Yeah. So, Andy, I'm supposed to ask you, what's the rule for Pacers?
Pacers loops 5 and 6. So 60. So that's miles 67 and on. Now, if you're 60 or over, you can have one anytime. And then we're addressing other things, you know, special needs, people that for what, you know, some one reason or another need more help. We're addressing that on a case-by-case basis. But, you know, for the most part, we make this very friendly for first-time runners, but we do have to control the number of uses on the course. So, you know, John Izzo or Dan Miller, they can have Pacers the entire race, but only one at a time. A lot of people – never had so many people ask as I had this year, people asking, can I have more than one Pacer at a time? That's a hard no. One at a time, you know. And can I have more than one Pacer per loop? Yes, you can. Like if you're Pacers, you've got somebody at group camp and somebody that's just good for a good hard 5.4 miles. They could do campground loop, and you know somebody else could continue on from there. So you could do. As long as it's one at a time, you can switch in the middle if you can figure it out.
Yep.
And we will have Pacer bibs this year, okay? So it does – we'll have to change – you know, if the change Pacers, the Pacer will have to change wear the bib, and it's only going to be one – we're going to give you one Pacer bib per runner. Great question. I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah, and with that Pacer bib, they do have to go on to Ultra Sign-Up, correct?
Yes.
Yes. There is a waiver.
There's a link on Ultra Sign Up and there's a link on our website for that.
But it's not
Pacer. Pacer waiver.
It is. Okay.
Pacer waiver. Yeah.
Yes.
We just need them initials for insurance purposes
and social security number.
Yes. And a major credit card.
Yeah. And you know what? Another question was, you know, how does the bib pickup work? You know, how does Friday work? How does Saturday morning work? You know, how's it going down?
I know. Amy just answered exactly. I said, you know, my good friend Bob Becker kept saying at the Daytona 100, I volunteered for him for like 4 days there this year. It was a blast. But he'd answer the question, and when they walk, he'd go, read your email. So anyway, our answer is read your email. But what was your question? So I can't answer it. So what was the question again?
Bib pickup.
All right. From 2 p.m. till 7 p.m. at Colt Creek State Park on Friday, January the 12th at the Mack Lake Pavilion. We will be having packet pickup, and Carhu Shoes will be there demoing shoes. We have a 2-mile loop set up for people if they want to do a little demo on Friday at packet pickup. And then we'll even have them available for if you want to do a full 16.7-mile loop on Saturday during the race. That will be at packet pickup. Like I said, we're going to have a couple of, you know, some question and answers session, and that's going to be at 5. The shoe demo is the entire time from 2 to 7. Now, let's see. And then that's, you know, we really stress we want you there on Friday to pick up that packet to, you know, when we answer those questions then, because there's not going to be a lot of time on Saturday morning. They're not opening the gates until 5, and the race starts at 6 in the a.m., and that's in the morning. That's the first of them. So anyway, we really are strongly encouraging you to get there. Now, I know some people's planes might be late in that kind of case, and we will make provisions for that on Saturday morning, but we don't want we don't want too many people doing that. It's kind of only an emergency thing.
And you will need a headlamp for the start of the race.
I would think. If particularly we'll have a good aid station. If you don't have crew at group camp, it's a good aid station there where you can drop off your headlamp at about mile 3.7.
Or chunk it
with the drop bags, you know, that kind of thing.
All right. You know, I guess we'll close it up kind of how we did last year. You know, if you had four tidbits of advice for those running this year, what would that advice be?
All right. I'll give you one right off the bat, and that is run your own race. It's great running with other people. Love to run with other people. But, man, if you want to listen to music and sometimes you feel compelled to talk to the person that they're running with you, sometimes you just got to run by yourself just to make sure you run your own race. So if you want to listen to music or if you have a pace, you don't want to push yourself too hard because you're running with somebody you want to run with. And also you don't want to run too slow. So running with somebody is great, provided it is great. You can wreck your race trying to keep the pace that is not your own. So that's my first bit. So let's just kind of go around and do a bit at a time.
I'll throw one out. Races of this distance always involve highs and lows. No matter how good you feel, at some point that's going to go away. So don't overrun when you're feeling good. The flip side of that is no matter how low you feel, walk for a while, rest for a while, and you're very likely to pull it back together and get going again. You got to manage the highs, the lows, and the highs to be successful.
I'm going to say take care of your feet. They're going to probably get wet. And know what to do when you start getting hot spots and try and take care of them early.
Yeah, and eat early and often. You know, in the early morning, you're probably not that thirsty. You're probably not that hungry, but it's good to get that hydration in before the heat kicks on and you're actually really thirsty.
Yeah. Same thing with calories. Take in some calories. You can't run a car without gasoline. Well, calories are your gasoline for the – so make sure and take some of those in too. It's not the day to diet.
The day to diet. I think that's four tidbits right there.
I think so. Bring plenty of light too. You don't want to be without a light. So
yep.
Extra batteries, or I always carry at least one extra light as well as extra batteries.
Yeah, I don't remember what the entry fee is, but between your entry fee and your training and your shoes and your clothes, you probably invested anywhere from $300 to $1,000 on this race. Some people more than that. Don't chintz on $10 with the batteries or try and run with low battery for a couple of hours and eke it out till the next battery change.
You mean like we always used to do?
Yeah. I found that running in low light can cost me 30, 60, 90 seconds a mile in pace. And then I finally changed my batteries and I'm like, oh, wow, I could run here. And it completely changes things. When the light starts to go dim, change the batteries and get it bright again.
Or just finish early.
Yeah, there you go.
That too.
And I think too, just honestly have a good time. You know, the miles are gonna make themselves happen as they do with the highs and lows. Just enjoy the miles as long as you can.
That Andy, that's one thing I am gonna miss off the old course is there was a lot of people with the out and backs.
Yeah, they'll be you'll get to see. You'll get to see some. That's a promise. You know, when you're going in and out of group camp, there's a good half mile, 6/10 of a mile in each direction of two-way traffic there. There's two-way traffic near the Joe Fuller Memorial Aid Station.
Yeah.
I haven't DNF'd there yet, so, you know, I can't call it that yet.
who's that guy that always smiled? I'm trying to think what his name was. I don't know if he's running this year. No matter when you saw him, he was always smiling at you.
Hot chocolate?
No. What is he down in Brazil?
Yeah, he's doing Brazil. Yeah.
So.
He got his 500-mile buckle. I gave him the year off. He better come back next year, though.
Oh, he will.
I mean, if you think about it, for 300 people and 16 and a half-ish miles, That's like 18 people per mile.
I believe you. You are an engineer.
So you said 18 people per mile?
I think so. Granted, yeah. Everybody's going like in the same area.
Ow. I'm like trying to figure out what he's doing.
Well, that's a runner every less than every 300 feet. So that's, you know, 100 yards between you and the next runner on average.
That's some real math for it.
All right.
All right.
Well, hey, this was awesome.
This was awesome. And probably the world appreciates you that we didn't do DNFs. Who's going to be our not DNFs, but DFLs. DFLs. We're going to be our DFLs. You know, if I'm running, it's going to be me. It's your saddles. I appreciate the forum to help bring the Long Haul 100 to the consciousness of the Florida trail runners. We love having them out there, and it's so great that the host of the show is going to be out there earning a new buckle this year. That's pretty cool. And that we even have $20 discount coupons to Russell's Western Wear if you need a belt to go with that buckle. And there are three locations in the greater Lakeland area. All right. Good luck, guys, getting well, both of you.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I got a cake in the oven, so I got to get. But thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you guys on Friday.
All right. Be a friend. Bye for now.
Yeah. Bye.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
And there we have it for episode 112. The Long Haul 100 is upon us again. You know, I'm excited to be running. I'm stoked to be out there. I always have a blast. And you know, for me, I finished it once. You know, I've crossed that finish line at least one time. And you know, I've also DNF'd the race for the past 3 years. But each and every single time, you know, I have an absolute blast out there. So hey, whether you're taking on the Long Haul this weekend, you know, you're coming out to the Skunk Ape 100 in April, or even the Tampa Bay 100 toward the end of the year, you know, enjoy the miles, enjoy the process, grind it out. And it's always great to see so many faces out at an event in our community. So hey, until next time, happy trails, and see you at the Long Haul 100.